Well,
this is you.
Thanks to the lame ass security.
And this is Spike.
I'm going home.
All right, man, we're back.
Shoe and Spike.
Shoe and Spike, another exciting episode of 90s rock bands.
No. 90s metal bands.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, my bad. I actually originally wanted to do that, but you switched it to metal, so we figured we'd continue the
metal list. I think we finished metal the list. 90s rock bands.
I thought I looked back and it was only three, but maybe we finished with three. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out.
We'll have to make sure.
We're going to wrap this up now today because there's only 25 left.
Yep. Must be the top 25 if it is a top list. I don't know.
Well, it's going to suck ball, I'm sure. We're going to be bummed because number two is not
anywhere near
number two.
Yeah. I mean, they got a good fan base. I'll give them that. But I was never that big of a fan of them.
Yeah.
But you'll find out in a bit here. But we're going to kick it off number 25 with Testament. And I can say Testament. I love that band in like pretty much like 11th grade. Up till now, you know, I think they're an excellent band. My first singer of the band I was in, actually it would have been 10th grade, but he got me into them.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I never got into him, but wasn't it Chuck Billy?
Chuck Billy was the bass player. Yeah. Yeah. Singer. No, he's a singer.
Oh, singer, yeah. And then
Greg Christensen was a bass player.
Okay, I didn't know who this bass player was. But I remember you used to play these guys all the time for me.
Yeah, Practice What You Preach. You probably heard that, I'm sure.
I probably heard all of them from you, but I probably never remember any of them.
Yeah.
It was quite a while ago.
But, man, it's cool, too, because they were huge in late 80s, early 90s. Well, a lot through the 90s. But they're back around, touring right now.
No shit.
Yeah. Even Chuck Billy in an interview was like, it's so cool that like this style of music kind of came back around.
Yeah.
People are liking it again today. He's like, we're back at work. You know what I mean? Really, he's like, you know, we got like a whole new, you know.
Fan base.
Yeah, right, exactly. A whole new fan base is a better way to put it.
That's nice. But I'm glad that I'm sneezing.
They've been out there. They've been out there back at it probably a good 7-8 years now.
Dude, I'm allergic to this show. Last time we were on, I was sneezing. And I think that you took my sneeze and made it like 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
You were messing it up for the editing. Yeah. I didn't know you did it backwards, but I did sound weird.
right when you're I put reverb on it. It sounded like you were in a hall, you know, or like a big giant room, but it's so brief that you got to really listen for it, but that was funny shit. Yeah, not a lot of memories for Shu on Testament, but man,
it changed plenty of Spike's albums. Life.
Yeah, right. It probably made me a little percentage of my bass playing is probably on them. Because he just inspired me so much musically, not necessarily bass, but I really liked Greg Christensen's sound was so cool back in the day. To me now, it's a little bit thin.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because metal, 90s metal wasn't big on, you know, crazy, thick, chunky bass. You know, it was just heavy guitars and that's it, you know. But his bass sound was so cool because it stood out and you could hear it real well. But another band that I, coming in at 24... which I think should be higher on this list, especially for the 90s, is Soundgarden.
Yeah, 24 Soundgarden. From the time Soundgarden started, wasn't it Black Hole Sun was like their first big release?
No, Bad Motor Finger was their first album. I'm pretty sure that was their first album.
And that's not on there?
I mean, no.
I just noticed some songs.
I think that might be the third album or so. We could probably look a little closer, but... Black Hole Sun, I think, is on Super Unknown, which is 94.
Oh, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, and Bad Motor Finger was 1991. Louder Than Love, okay. That is their... I think that might be their first album. That's 1989.
But, yeah, Black Hole Sun, and... I can't name a lot, because everything that Chris Cornell did, I love. I mean, everything.
Man, Temple of the Dog. Amazing voice, my
Temple
gosh.
Of the Dog, man, there was a lot of good songs on that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and...
Sail out of heaven.
Yeah, that was a great song. Yeah. And Hunger Strike, Wooden Jesus, just a metric ton of good stuff from Soundgarden. You know, and what a great timing, too, when they came out. Yeah, I'm feeling Minnesota.
Yeah, looking California, but feeling Minnesota. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
what's the damn name of that?
Now you know.
I can't think of the name of it, but obviously people know what song it is, but... I've never been great with song titles. Okay, yeah, great tune, man.
Yeah, that was probably one of the first ones that I heard.
Ben Shepherd's got to be one of the weirdest bassline guy. He kind of inspired me with his basslines are always way different than the guitar player, which I've always liked that. And that kind of inspired me a little bit.
You know, while we're on it here, if anybody likes Chris Cornell's voice, look up on YouTube, look up Audio Slave, Sleep Now in the Fire.
Oh yeah.
And then Weenie Roast.
Okay.
The Weenie Roast version. It's from some radio station had this big thing. But that version is so awesome because of the way that Chris Cornell screams during it. It's awesome. Have you heard it?
I'm pretty sure I have.
I have that on my phone. I listen to that all the time still.
It's like when he goes raspy, man, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just great. And so that was Audio Slave, Sleep Now in the Fire from the Weenie Roast.
Definitely check that out.
That was freaking badass.
But Soundgarden, man, huge band of the 90s, man.
We don't have enough time to talk enough about Soundgarden. So we got to stop now, so.
That's funny because you just talked about.
Oh, yeah. Now this.
Audio Slave. And then Audio Slave. There's the guys from Audio Slave.
Yeah, right. 23 is Rage Against the Machine. And first off, here, before we start getting into Rage Against the Machine, both of them should be way closer to number one.
Then 23 and 24, yeah.
Within the top five, both of them should be within the top five.
And I definitely don't think that both of them should be below Machine Head, even though Machine Head's cool. I like Machine. I haven't heard a ton of them, but from what I've heard,
Machine
they're cool.
Machine Head is crap, dude. That's hot garbage. But, dude,
yeah,
Cannibal Corpse, dude, or whatever the hell that was. What the fuck? So Rage Against the Machine,
yeah.
there's no mistaking that. It was one of the first times that I had heard, like, somebody that is basically kind of rapping.
Oh, yeah, totally
and
rapping.
To some really heavy-ass, grungy metal, you know. And that was so badass. And Tom Morello, what an amazing guitar player.
Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, they are definitely...
They prided themselves on using just their instruments and not being so computery. They wanted no computer bullshit, no nothing.
That's good.
But Morello kind of made up for that, you know. Anything that was electronic and weird sounding was always him doing that shit.
That's another part of that Sleep Now in the Fire where they don't show him doing it, but I'm like, who's running the camera here? Because during that, he's like all over that guitar, man. He's, you know, sliding across the strings with his right hand and his left hand's punching the frets and he's just all over the place. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And, but they don't show most of it. They show it for like a split second. And then they go off to Chris Cornell, who's standing there and he's not doing anything. I'm like, don't have somebody that doesn't even know the song work the camera.
I think I saw that with you because we were all thinking the same thing.
Why
watching
are you not
it.
Showing?
Like,
show the
guitar solo
for
going
fuck's
on,
sake.
You idiot.
Yeah. Jeez, man, yeah. That pissed me off.
A bad cameraman at a rock show is the worst thing to have.
Worst. But Rage Against the Machine, dude, so many songs.
Man, I can't, I don't think I can sit through one of their albums and find a boring tune. I mean, it just.
Some of them I don't bother with because there's a lot of them that I really like and I want to hear that once, so I don't even listen to, like...
Yeah.
I can't remember what some of them are called, but...
the one that has the kid on it. Go to Rage albums. But Evil Empire?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Man, front to back.
Oh, awesome. I know. Awesome. Everything is great. I got a live version of that. I think you have that, too. They did a reunion tour?
First reunion and tours, yeah, 2007, 2008. Yeah. I don't think there was very many
of
them.
Yeah, I think that the singer kind of ducked out and was like, I'm not doing anything else.
2009, 2015, UK, Killing in the Name, Christmas Campaign, European Tour, and LA Rising, whatever that is, I don't know. Don't know nothing about it. I think Prophets of Rage and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Prophets of Rage is basically a bunch of other artists that would basically step in with Tom Morello, and I don't necessarily know if it's the other guys from Rage, but it might be the drummer, maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about Prophets of Rage.
I felt bad because
I never got into it.
The lead singer of Rage Against the Machine got very, I don't know if it was because he's so incredibly political.
It's not him. He's less political than Tom Morello is.
Really?
I think they had political differences. I speculate. You know what I mean? I don't know the real truth. I don't think they ever let on to what really happened. I just think the singer just kind of disappeared.
I thought that it was probably because he didn't want to be part of something that wasn't, you know, that wasn't leaving a smaller carbon footprint or some crap. I'm thinking of like,
no,
okay,
I don't think he was that bad about it, but I could be wrong too, though.
Political views and activism.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
right there. And there, well, they were, that was the one thing about them that was kind of cool, but then it got kind of dumb. I thought some of the political shit. I really hate politics, and I hate that people will judge you on your politics, you know, or how you feel about something. People nowadays, they're like, hey, freedom of speech, but then, like, as long as it's not interrupting how I feel, so that's not freedom of speech. I'm done talking about politics now.
Yeah, it's so, just a touchy-ass subject.
Everything has gotten
Why?
So freaking stupid, and, you know, I mean, hey, I'm fine with anybody doing whatever they want as long as it's not hurting someone else. And if someone else doesn't want to see somebody dressing up like a woman or somebody being gay or doing anything that they don't like, then just turn their head.
Yeah.
But then again, if somebody doesn't like somebody not being like that or not going out of their way to make sure that somebody's saying the correct words and stuff,
yeah, right.
Then
get
you know
the
what?
Fuck out of here. You know,
stop.
Yeah.
You know, you
stop the Soviet
acting
Union
like everybody
anymore.
Should know. I mean, sometimes you just don't know, and you may say something wrong. I just wish people wouldn't be so irritated about stuff. It's like, you know, everybody should just get along, you know? I don't know.
No,
fuck,
I agree.
Man.
Yeah.
I don't know how to even
just
talk
put the
about
shit
it.
Down, man. Fuck it. Look, People of the Sun, Bulls on Parade.
Oh, I love that. People of the Sun. That was so bad.
Yeah.
People come up.
Yeah, Bulls on Parade, Renegades of Funk, that was great.
Yeah, great
oh
song, yeah.
Actually, we covered part of that in an old band.
Guerrilla Radio, No Shelter, Rally
yeah,
Round
Tire
the Family.
Me. Tire Me was a good one, too.
With a pocket full of shells.
Yeah, awesome band, man.
I love the way he could spin words, too. He just spin words together.
Oh,
and
popping and shocking and putting aside a hip-hop. Yeah, the way he
popping, locking, and shocking, putting aside
yeah.
a hip-hop.
He did like rolling the R's like crazy. I can't even do it.
Put aside a hip hop.
Yeah, I can't even barely mouth it. But
right.
And he just rolled off like no big deal.
Yeah, he had that gift of being able to just swirl some sentences up. I mean, just. I don't know.
Yeah, he's not your.
It's hard to explain, but you know, listen to.
He could probably outdo half the rappers out there. Really?
Oh yeah,
you
right.
Know
what
I mean?
That's what I was saying. Is man, he can make a sentence grow, and it starts off as a tiny ball, and it grows into a boulder. I mean, I don't know how that makes sense to anybody, but it's just the way he starts. He would start talking kind of quietly, and then talk. And then getting it more into it, and then getting up to screaming
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff, and it was just like,
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the words are are just fucking...
Just ramping it up.
Pushed together so artfully. It's hard to explain for me, but very I really feel very strong about Rage Against the Machine.
Like very, almost angry poetry. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say some of the words, like Hannibal Eye.
Oh yeah,
used to be a library line of summertime line to the terminal.
Man, I know like that part you're talking about. I could hear it in my head, but I couldn't
say it.
A lot, yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's the way, like you're saying, the way he strings them together.
He just puts this together, and as you're hearing it, you feel it. It just feels so good. And then you try and reproduce it, and you're like,
yeah, you sound like a dope.
Right. So, yeah, Rage Against the Machine was one of my top five, I think, out of all time.
Yeah. Pretty friggin' awesome, man. But I really can't put a lot of time or into 21 or 22.
Yeah, 22.
Not, like I say, Machine Head I thought was pretty cool. I never really knew a whole shit ton from them, but.
The more I know about Machine Head is the song Machine Head from Bush. You got a Machine Head.
Yeah.
And then Cannibal Corpse. That's got to be above 50 for a 100.
Yeah.
How could that be not above 50?
I don't know how the Cannibal Corpse could get to 21.
Dude, this was written by the singer of Cannibal Corpse, I think.
Yeah.
It had to be. What's the next one? Let's brag on the next one. It's going to suck.
But I mean, you know, Cannibal Corpse and Cannibal Corpse did have a decent following. It just wasn't for me, man. 20 is Nine Inch Nails.
Okay, I mean, Nine Inch Nails.
And there's some good material.
I mean, I could see them being in like the top 25.
Yeah. So 20 is a
good spot for them.
I mean, he did some pretty cutting edge shit. You know, yeah, for I think his time.
There was a song that they had that was just all. All the music in the song was just sounds, sounds of like a chainsaw. I think they had, and they had different.
They were like all in a board where you push.
Yeah, it, right.
You know, like a drum set or whatever.
That was very cool. I mean, that was a cool song. And then, yeah, right. You it's violate
like,
you
like the, whatever the snare would have been was like just static.
It's not, right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and every single sound in the whole song was just a blurb, like a soundbite or something.
All
yeah.
computer, yeah, totally computer. That's basically what he was. He was totally industrial, you know.
Yeah, right. And that remember that what's that song that the song Wish and then had like a whole. Those songs were awesome, man.
Yeah, those were good, yeah.
I loved those songs, and I got to buy them now off iTunes or something so I can have them, because I remember
you in the 90s. You let me violate you.
That's the...
Yeah, right. Boom. I want to... You like an animal. Yeah. Yeah, that one was real big in the clubs.
Oh, yeah, and that was the one chicks. That had just sounds, no music.
Yeah, the...
Very cool.
Chicks would get on the dance floor for that one, get all freaky and shit.
You want They want to get fucked like an animal.
And 19
fuck
Slipknot.
You like a giraffe. Long neck.
19 Slipknot.
Yeah, Slipknot. I never got into Slipknot, but...
I think Slipknot is awesome. Dude, you would like... You know, the real stomping one?
Yeah.
I did my time, and I won out.
That sounds familiar. I think you showed me a couple of stronger songs from them, and I really liked them a lot.
I mean, this one here, they're going to give me... Yeah. I mean, this one here is what really... I mean, when you get the first... That is amazing for live. That sounds just
like
a
CD. Sounds great, Oh, I'm missing out, dude. This is pretty awesome.
But man,
and what a theatrical event there, dude. They all have masks on and they all look freaky.
Yeah, have you've never gotten into them that much?
I never got into them, no.
Man.
And there's another one, Slayer. I never got into Slayer either.
Yeah, there's some stuff about Slayer that you would like. There's some, I can pull out some tunes that you would like. But definitely I can find some songs you would really like from Slipknot.
Yeah, make me a list, dude, and I'll buy them on iTunes.
For sure.
I'd like to have some. I like to sometimes if I'm in traffic and stop and go, turn on something really fucking loud that's really, really offensive just to beat up the people that are around me.
Like, Psychosocial. Psychosocial, that's the one I was thinking of. Psychosocial.
It's like an ice cream social. But...
The Devil and I is a really cool song. Snuff. You'd like Snuff. Snuff's a kind of a slower tune. You'd really dig that. Before I Forget, that is just crazy. It's mayhem. Wait and Bleed's the one you just heard. That was 99.
Oh, cool.
These guys were... I almost want to say they got popular in like the late 90s, which is kind of funny that they're on a 90s metal list. But, I don't know. I want to say like 96, 97, they really started.
Hey, I'm fine with somewhere. Even if somebody was getting huge and or just started out in 99 and then got really, really well known in 99, I'm okay with them being on the list. You know? But the thing is, it would be on the 2000s list, they should be higher up, you know? If they're really great on the 90s list, but they started at the end of the 90s.
Yeah, right. Right, and that's kind of, I've always kind of thought of that too. It's like, well, if they're only really popular for 3 years, it's like, should you be really that high
on
the
list?
Yeah, but
remember Queen on that 70s list, and this, they were kind of maybe 30 or something on the 70s list, and I'm like, what the hell? Queen should be way early, way high up on the 70s.
Were they better going into the 80s, though, more popular?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, there was like 4 or 5 albums in the 70s. Because I looked that up and I'm like,
that's
what
right.
The hell?
No, I remember we did. And it went all the way through the 70s, too.
Yeah, right. And yeah, it was from the early 70s to the late 70s, and they should have been way higher up. I mean, it's good that we have this somebody else's list that we can rag on. I'd love to be able to call them names, you know, or make fun of their name or something, because I'm just kidding. But anyway.
Well, man, Slipknot, my gosh. I mean, just the. Like you say, mayhem, dude. I mean, it's just crazy. Grabs you, you know what I mean?
I think I'm going to really start getting into them now that it's been 40 years since they've been out. Obituary, I don't have anything to say about Obituary. I really don't know any of it.
I think it's going to be kind of like a, not a burpee contest where it's all deathy, some of it. Napalm Death, I don't know,
but Dream Theater, number 16, one of my favorite bands of all time. I love Dream Theater.
Yeah, awesome band.
Yeah, they have a lot of really, really good stuff, and especially their covers, cover band, the cover songs that they do.
Oh, yeah.
They're really great.
You ought to look up some of their regular albums, though.
Yeah, you told me that.
It's like they got more originals, I think, than they do covers, but, I mean, I know they do perform a lot of covers. But Typo Negative.
Typo Negative. I liked Typo Negative for a while, and they're okay.
Should they be 15 in the 90s?
No,
15.
They should not be 15 on this list because they're not even really that much heavy metal.
I mean, they're
more like
dark metal. I mean,
yeah, they're dark, and they're rock. They're probably more dark rock. I don't think they really have anything fast. She's in love with herself.
Yeah, I don't think they do a lot of... There might be one or two songs that are a little fast, and he might do some weird shit, but... Man, it's been so long since I heard stuff from them guys, but...
They redid the song Summer's Eve.
Summer Breeze?
Summer Breeze.
Yeah.
I sing it Summer's Eve, the douche song. The summer, Summer's Eve makes me feel fresh. Yeah.
God.
In my mind. Peter Steele, was that his name?
Yeah, he died. Like,
he became pretty satanic and stuff, and I think that he was all wanting to be a vampire. He had his teeth filed down, and then had some teeth filed sharp, so he looked like a vampire. And
sure those weren't the caps that.
No,
put,
he
that
had
them
filed
in?
Down. That was just one of the stories.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was true. So, typo negative, I don't really even think that they're in the genre of metal.
Yeah.
I think they'd be like hard rock or dark rock, you know, if you could make your own category, vampire rock or something.
Yeah, I like some of their songs.
Yeah, I like their style, even. But I think it was a kind of a fad type thing, and it passed for me.
Yeah, because now when it comes on, I just like the reminded me of the Munsters.
Yeah, doodly doo, doo 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 doodly doo. That's the black number one.
Yeah, that part where you.
It does sound just like the Munsters.
Yeah, or totally Adam's Family
or whatever the hell.
That's more towards the middle of the song, that part. But I think it's the same with the goofy intro.
Yeah.
But moving along, number 14 is Tool.
Tool's awesome.
And I mean, holy shit. You listen to The Pot, right? Remember I was showing you that?
Oh.
Who are you to wait?
Yeah, I did listen to that.
You listen to the song, though, and the rest of it?
Yeah,
Holy shit, is it crazy.
Yeah, it's a great song. I like their songs. I like their style. I love the effect the singer puts on his voice. It makes it sound like he's in a manhole.
It's a megaphone.
Oh, yeah?
It's like putting a microphone in front of your megaphone.
No shit.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I love that. When that comes on, that's why I want to listen to their music, is because of that effect on his voice.
I'm pretty sure that live he actually does that too, for those parts that he has a megaphone.
No shit.
I didn't even think that.
I mean, he might even have that EQ'd. It's probably just some sort of an effect, yeah, so he can just have the microphone up to his mouth.
But I don't know if it was him or not, though, that I'm pretty sure that he did do that on stage, though, for a live show. That might be just EQ'd in studio, I don't know, but for a live show, I'm pretty sure he did that. It might have been on the lower circuit or something, maybe, when they're first starting out, but...
Nothing has been changed. Undeniable dilemma.
Yeah.
If you're gonna listen to Tool, listen to Stinkfist, and then listen very closely to the words.
Yeah, yeah,
man.
Yeah. It's pretty rough, man.
It's hard to listen to. I mean, it's
yeah.
I'm not even gonna get any farther into it, but yeah, it's intense. Those words are very descriptive, but you have to listen to every word.
Yeah, otherwise, if you just grab out a little piece, it might not even make any sense. But once you've listened to the whole caboodle, it's pretty rough.
It is basically what you think by the title. The title is pretty descriptive of what the song's trying to get at.
And Borderline is, you'll get what I'm saying by Borderline. 13, though, One of Shoe's all-time favorites.
Yeah, one of mine.
I don't even know if I would consider them metal either.
No, they're not metal. I don't think so. Not Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses is hard rock.
I was going to say rock and roll band, hard rock, maybe. Yeah.
They have a lot of slower songs, and I think I really like that about them. And they have Welcome to the Jungle, which is, you know, a really intense song. Rocket Queen.
Yeah, Rocket Queen is one of my favorite songs by them guys.
Great songs from Guns N' Roses, and I mean, just the screaming stuff in You Could Be Mine.
Yeah, You Could Be Mine is a damn good song.
Yeah,
too,
that's
man.
That showcases his ability to scream, and
that was a great song to put in that movie too.
Oh yeah, right.
T2 or Terminator 2.
Yeah, right. Terminator 2.
That was a great song to have in that.
Yeah, and the video was cool. And I remember an interview with Axl Rose, and he's like, yeah, we were sitting there, and Arnold Schwarzenegger walked in. And he said, "I want to be in the video." And then he's like, so they made that video because he wanted to be in it. They made it like that. So he was searching out the band. You know, he's like, terminate the band members or something. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
yeah. Guns N' Roses. They were pretty theatrical. And like I was saying before about AC/DC having a Fly on the Wall album. All the different videos make up like some...
Like a short movie
that happens inside a bar. Well, Guns N' Roses put a bunch of videos together that don't make any sense, but they were actually going to make sense because it was going to make like a movie or something, and they never did. They never finished it.
Really
it spun
sucks.
Me out.
I think really the was egos looking forward didn't to that. Get so big...
It
happened. It could have been pretty cool, man.
Yep, I agree. So, Guns N' Roses, love them, always will. What's this next one?
Opeth. I mean, buddies of mine have liked him over the years. I've never really known a lot about him.
O-P-E-T-H.
Yeah, and it's not to say that they don't, you know, or even some of the other ones that we kind of, you know, just glossed over, Napalm Death.
Oh, yeah.
Cannibal Corpse. Not to say that they don't deserve respect, or I wouldn't like some of it. I just don't know enough
about it. Yeah, but how are they in the top 20?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, they, you know, I mean, Opeth might be freaking awesome. I wouldn't know, though.
So, Opeth is 12, but then Judas Priest is 11. Judas Priest should be in the top 10, for sure, of metal.
Blackwater Park, Damnation, Ghost, blah, 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 blah. Let's get a peep, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, just a little bit of Opeth.
They look like they almost look like a 70s band, don't they?
Yeah, they look like they're from the 70s, yeah, and they're going to start singing Highway Song It's not English. A lot of tremolo in that voice. No, that's called tremolo.
Yeah. Vibrato. Tremolo's on guitar.
He's using it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Singing into a guitar. It's not bad.
I don't think it's all that bad, but.
Dude, thanks for waking me up. I just fell asleep.
Yeah.
I don't get it, man.
I don't. You know, like you say, it's not even English. I mean, not to say it's a bad band, but it's like.
It doesn't sound like metal to me at all.
No, yeah, right.
That's almost tender fireside ballad rock.
I gotta wonder if that might be one of their slower tunes. I don't know. I mean, that could be.
But
know.
I mean, they're definitely better than Guns N' Roses. And also,
oh, yeah.
Also, I mean, Soundgarden.
Yeah.
Other ones. Come on, man.
I'm trying to give them respect, but it's
even
same time,
Typo
it's
Negative
like,
is better than that. Come on. And I liked Typo Negative a lot.
Yeah, Dream Theater in the 90s? Right. You know, I mean, I don't get it.
I don't think Dream Theater is very much a metal band either, though. But Judas Priest is. And Judas Priest kicks ass.
Yeah, Judas Priest for sure. I think if you hear the right songs, Dream Theater can be very
Judas
much
Priest,
metal.
I think Judas Priest was the very first concert I went to.
I think the first one I went to was Whitesnake, I think. And then the one after that was Judas Priest. I saw the Ram It Down, Shove It Up.
Oh, yeah. I think you and the sister went to that.
Yeah, and a buddy of mine was there. I don't remember which buddy.
I remember I was bummed that I didn't go. But I went to... You Got Another Thing Coming, I think, tour. I was in like ninth grade, I think. And I remember telling the woodshop teacher that I went to Judas Priest, and he's like, what? Maybe that was Deep Purple. Deep Purple or Judas Priest was my first concert. And I've already done this in another show. I'm having flashbacks here.
Yeah.
So
a little deja.
I saw a lot of concerts that were awesome that a lot of people would really hope to see.
I really loved Priest, you know. I shouldn't say loved. I really liked them, but then when they came out with the Painkiller album and the new drummer, Scott Travis, he's the ultimate heavy metal drummer. That's what he used to say about him. He's the ultimate heavy metal drummer, and I was like, I agree.
Okay, so that's when you liked. I loved him before that.
Well, I liked him before that.
I remember that
the
double bass
like,
that he would freaking play in that Painkiller song.
Yeah.
The double bass was just so fast. It was awesome.
And I mean, saying he's the ultimate heavy metal drummer, I mean, when they put that album out, I was blown away because to me it was like, okay, this is Judas Priest that I knew of on steroids.
Yeah, right.
I was big into that shit at that
time. He screams like blood-curdling high pitch.
This is the
Painkiller.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I
look
love
up Painkiller if you're a metal fan of any type and you don't know this would have been this was like 91 I believe.
I was gonna say early 90s. Judas Priest was fucking huge in the 80s.
I mean they were big in the late 70s, but
yeah,
then 80s
were, yeah.
They blew up and then 90s was when Painkiller came out. That blew me away, man.
Yeah, I was into him a lot longer than that. I bought the vinyl album of You Got Another Thing Coming because of that song, You Got Another Thing Coming.
Yeah.
And then I ended up liking all the other songs
more.
No,
I remember that, too, because you would put that on, and I'm like, man, this whole album's good.
Yeah, there was a song, Fever. The song Fever was so freaking cool, man. It was like, it would build up from this slow, and then it's like, so destiny, and then it just was getting harder and harder, and then pretty soon he's fucking screaming, and it was awesome. And then, but it started off so slow.
Huh.
And then...
Man, I can barely remember that album. I mean, now that you started talking about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember you did have that.
I'm trying to think of some of the other songs, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, right. Sinner? Was that Sinner on that album, or is that Sinner a whole different album itself?
Probably a whole different album, I think. Sin After Sin?
I thought it was a song called Sinner on that album that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. The one with Love's Ain't Coming.
No. It's Screaming for Vengeance. That was a badass song.
Yeah.
That's the name of the album, Screaming for Vengeance.
Okay, yeah. No, but I remember that. Yeah.
And then I ended up liking that song even more than You Got Another Thing Coming, which I still love You Got Another Thing Coming. And then it's funny, the live shit, too.
He echoed himself, live. Too, didn't he? Screaming for Vengeance. Vengeance.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
I think he did it himself, I think, yeah.
Yeah. yeah, that was a
yeah, their live album. Stuff too. Priest Live, awesome, and then also Fuel for Life. That's another one. They're around, maybe they're years apart, but one of them, they might have both been in Texas, but one of them for sure, Fuel for Life, I think was a Texas show. He said Dallas, Texas now.
Did you ever hear what happened with the drummer, Dave Holland? Right, Dave Holland. I'm pretty sure it's the drummer's name. I guess he was teaching some kid drums, and he was diddling the kid. It's like, what are you doing,
what?
Guy? Yeah, he got busted for molesting a kid. Yeah.
Oh, for Ben's sake,
Dave Holland. Apparently, yeah. Let me make sure on that. I don't want
to. Dude, I never heard that. They keep shit out of the news. I was kind of glad now that I know that. I feel sad. Like my life is just not what it used to be.
Yeah, Dave Holland, Judas Priest jail. Let me see what. Imprisonment in 2004, Holland was arrested and later found guilty by a jury in Northampton Crown Court. One count of attempted rape and 5 counts of indecent assault against a 17-year-old male.
Oh,
with learning difficulties. Jeez, Dave.
Oh, man. Come on, dude. Yeah. That poor kid, man.
Oh, here we go. Dave Holland, former Judas Priest drummer, dead at 69. He might have got killed in prison. Dead at 69, though. I mean, geez, 69?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't know about that. Yeah,
don't ever trust anybody with your kid. Anybody.
Yeah,
anybody.
Yeah,
even if you know them.
Yeah.
Even if you know them and you think you're friends with them.
There's enough proof out there. There's enough proof out there nowadays that you can't trust anybody.
Anybody. That's why I took a shitty job for 10 years. So it wasn't a shitty job, but it was a less paying job. I went from a job where I was making a good money and it had a pretty good thing, and we had kids, and my wife had to work in her place, and I needed to find a job where I could stay at home, and I found a at-home job doing tech support and stuff, and I stayed home for like 10 years while my kids grew up.
And that's cool,
man. I took care of them. Yeah. I picked them up from school. I made sure they you know.
Can you imagine working a different job, paying for daycare?
Yeah, paying for daycare that could be fucking your kid up.
Yeah.
You got to remember, you want to be the one that is giving the input that is what's going to make your child what it becomes as an adult. You're putting in your input. You don't want somebody else being like, just shut your fucking mouth, you brat. Yeah. So,
I mean, just to, not to do an abrupt change to the subject there, because it's a good subject, it's a good point. Yeah, definitely don't trust anybody, but do we want to call this here and do a top 10
show? Yeah, so the next show will be the top 10, yeah, because we're at the top 10.
We'll have a lot more to talk about in the top 10 as well.
Oh, yeah, there's a decent list here. There's one that sucks. One that I've never heard of. Yeah, that one.
This one here, if I'm right, It's actually a really cool story behind it. We'll see, right, though, and I'll be able to verify.
But the one that's not as good as that one is one of the best. I mean.
Yeah, right. Yeah, number two, I don't quite get, but I know that they have a huge following. I don't really get.
There's some here that should be higher up in this list, but then there's some that are okay.
Yeah, I think the majority of it's okay, but you know.
And also, I don't think that Black Sabbath is metal in any way, shape, or form. That is not metal.
I mean, yeah, I know. I could see.
Remember Jethro Tull won for best metal band? Jethro Tull, they have a flute player.
It was like at the height of Metallica, like early Metallica, and they were really good, and they beat Metallica.
Yeah, I know.
For like best hard rock.
That right there is, that right there was proof that those shows are just a bunch of shit.
Garbage.
Jethro Tull, it's a 70s band that plays like fairy rock. I'm trying to think of it. I don't mean fairy like gay or anything like that. I mean they play flutes and they play mystical type music. Like that you'd hear when a fairy's flying around.
Like
what's that? That place where you go when what's that old times? They have a festival, Renaissance.
Oh
festival.
Yeah, Renaissance.
That's
yeah.
Like Jethro Tull is a Renaissance festival band. That's what they are.
Okay, yeah.
Come on.
Like what you're saying is kind of like what I used to call bands that were like Iron Maiden. I used to call Iron Maiden like D&D metal.
Okay.
Because they always talk about wizards.
Yeah, and dragons.
And your
Slay
steed. Get on your steed. And I'm like, this sounds like D&D to me. Are these guys playing D&D when they're writing songs,
man,
or what? I mean,
could be.
But I always thought of them guys as D&D metal.
Bruce Dickens says, I'm not ready to go on tour right now because I'm in the middle of a D&D game. It's going to take at least another month.
I'm on the 8th level. I want to get to 10th before we go.
Right.
Or something like that. But anyway, yeah, let's get out of here.
All right, cool. Thank you for listening. We love you.
Much love, everybody.
Everyone, take care. Have a great week.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
This is Shu. And
this is Spike. I'll take it, God.